California and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Jamie Lee of TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a moment, we will be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Rooters and Root Workers, Madam Nadia of MadamNadia.com in Illinois. Together, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and then called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Cat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Cat?
Hi, Miss Tammy Lee. Nice
Hi.
To hear your pleasant voice.
I have an
urgent emergency call out to my dear husband. My tarot cards are not in my room.
Oh,
but my clock is.
Oh,
please run, go get them.
Very good.
Okay.
All righty. I mean, we got a few minutes here, but just saying, I need my tarot card. Okay. The little ones in the Whitman sampler tin, please. All righty. Well, on that note, welcome everybody to the show. And it's nice having everybody here. It's so wonderful to have you, Ali, my good friend.
Thank you, my dear.
And here comes the thumping footprints down the hall, and here come my tarot cards. Thank you. All right. All righty. And welcome, Madam Nadia. So nice
welcome.
To have you here again. You raised a lot of interest the last time we were here, and, we are glad to have you back. There's a lot of people interested in the way you read, and especially, I know you can read just about anything that exists, but the way you read the Lenormand cards has kind of taken the world by storm. And I just have to say that blog you have and the webpage and the way that you're working with Lenormand cards is really amazing, and it just made a lot of difference to a lot of people. And I'm reminded of this because I had a client come to me, a woman born in Russia, speaks English real well, has been living in the U.S. for long time. But she was, and I read her cards, I read the tarot, and then she was kind of nostalgic, and she said, in Russia, we used to have these other cards. And she described the Lenormand deck. So I sent her to you. I said, and I lost a good client doing that, probably, because she's going to want you, because I said, not only does she read Lenormand cards, she could speak Russian. So there you go.
I promise I'll take care. I'll take a very good care of her.
she's a good gal. But so that is one of the things that I always enjoy the most. And I know you do read other cards, and you said you're going to read the Marseille deck today too, as well, the trumps. Mm-hmm. But you have something very unusual there, and we all love it. So, what's new in your little corner of the world, dear? What's been happening with you?
A lot. I am still coming down from visiting the workshops. I'm so happy that I managed to get out to the Mecca of Hoodoo. visit my spiritual home, so to speak. It was an absolute riot, and I enjoyed everybody so much, had wonderful experiences, enjoyed especially to meet quite a few AIR members in person, and it was so much nicer to connect that way. Otherwise, I've just been busy. I am working on several projects, a lot of video work that I've been doing, a lot of creative sort of things coming in, a lot of readings, and exploring all kinds of new avenues, so to speak, spiritually, that are fascinating to me. So that's pretty much it.
Well, good. It was wonderful to see you when you did come out. And Ollie, I know just before the show started, I asked you about some ancient Greek, Coptic, Jewish, Egyptian, mishmash Aramaic texts that everyone knows as and it's funny, I don't see Consumes. Oh, there he is. No, he's not. That was K.S. Witten. There's a guy who's in the chat quite a lot, Consumes, and he is very much interested in Egyptology. And your name came up last night, Ollie. We went out to dinner and talked about a lot of these older texts and the old Greek magical papyrus tradition of grimoires. And if anyone knows about it, you do. And so I'm just curious. I just have to ask a question. Do you do any work with those?
I actually do. There's a new interest in tracing the grimoires of the medieval era and seeing how we could look at the Goetic tradition, for example, and see how it's actually preserved in the Greek magical papyri, which ultimately is one of the best preservers, if you will, of the traditional practices of the Goet. And when we say the practices of the Goet, we're talking about the Greco-Roman necromancers who dealt specifically with the underworld, with things like ghost slaying and calling up down the gods of the underworld and things like that. It is a very, very interesting text, and me and several friends and colleagues have been working through them, trying to reconstruct some of the spells and work from them. It's a fascinating text. It's interesting to see. I think what's so fascinating about it for me is because, like hoodoo, the Greek magical papyri are not just Greek. It's a culture that is very cosmopolitan, so you have heavy Jewish influence. You have Greek influence. You have Egyptian influence. And there's so many different things that melded together naturally. Not people just picking and choosing, but this culture learning from one another, mixing together, and producing this very powerful magical system. It is very fascinating to me, and I do, definitely do work with it.
Well, I just had to ask, because my first exposure was through Henri Gamache's Mystery of the Long Lost 8th, 9th, and 10th Books of Moses. And Consumes and us were going through a comparison of the newer translations by Betts with these old translations by Gamache, which were in turn based on these old German translations by a guy named Karl Preisendonz. And it was a trip to see one of the books that has most influenced hoodoo, Mystery of the Long Lost 8th, 9th, and 10th Books of Moses, which uses Zora Neale Hurston, the great African-American folklorist, as one of its major sources, also draws on this Greek magical papyrus tradition. And that book has sold a million copies in hoodoo candle shops over the years. So, again, showing that hoodoo has a lot of sources. All right. Well, we'll talk about more of this later sometime, but it just became my new thought du jour. Now, actually, we're here to do this day. We're going to shift gears radically. And Madam Nadia is going to bring us the topic for our panel discussion, and that is going to be beauty and glamour spells. And those of you who know Madame Nadia through many different facets of her public persona know that one of her facets is about beauty. So take it away, Madame Nadia.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, I am a big, big, big fan of everything that's relating to beauty, cosmetics, things that make us feel beautiful. And I know that when I came to hoodoo, it was so wonderful to see that a lot of the older products were beauty products that were geared for magical use. And looking at that, for me, was sort of a revelation because I realized that every item that I have in my vanity, you know, can become a magical item. And so I really started experimenting with that and playing around with that, and I was amazed to see how easy it is and how fun it is. And now translating it and taking it and teaching, you know, my clients and my students how to play with that, and it's lots of fun.
Give us an example.
Well, let's say that we have a young lady and she's about to go out to town, and she wants to find a guy. And so she's going to take maybe her favorite lipstick and her favorite pair of shoes and maybe the pair of jeans that makes her ass just look incredible. And she's going to create a little glamour altar. And she's going to pray over these items. And she's going to pray over her lipstick and say, well, you know, when the man of my dreams is going to see me smiling, all he's going to think about is how he wants to kiss me. And she's going to take a little bit of a bewitching oil, and she's going to take her stilettos and, you know, rub those heels a little bit. And she's going to say, well, every step that I'm going to take, I'm going to be seen by everybody, you know, add a little bit of look me over, one of my favorites. And then, you know, she's going to smoke that pair of jeans and a little bit of incense. And, you know, we can all imagine what she can be thinking about when she's smoking those pair of jeans. And she's going to go out, and I assure you that just by taking the time and picking those items and sitting with spirit and invoking that sort of energy, there's going to be a lot going on.
Wow. Well, and I want to say that for me, I've never been known for my beauty or my glamour, and I just wear Chinese velvet kung fu slippers and have since 1976. So what would a person like, and I don't wear makeup, so what would a person like me do for glamour? Just go straight to the sex, or could I have glamour too?
Of course you can have glamour. Glamour comes from inside. And I think that one of the things that I think about always is the idea of scent and oil. And, you know, where's the Chinese slippers, Kat? I know how wonderful of a perfumer you are. And what you can put together. And putting a little bit of scent on us and working with that and putting a little wish in there and saying that, you know, if I'm trying to attract somebody specific or not somebody specific, if I'm just trying to attract somebody to me, then may they smell that scent and they will sort of experience a fantasy or a revelation within their body, and I will know about that because they're going to tell me, oh, you smell so good. And this is glamorous to me. And, you know, there could be a beautiful women that have wonderful bodies and whatnot, and on the other hand, there would be just the women that have glamour. And that is special, and I think it's easy to recognize the differences, but we all can have a little bit more glamour. And for me, it's a lot of times would be the scent, it would be the oils, it would be the experience of putting it on myself and invoking something. So
All right, let's hear from the male member here. Not the male member directly, but from the head that controls the male member. All right. Sorry about that. I just had to do it. What's that old bald-headed Ali going to say about glamour?
You know, it's interesting. I think when it comes to glamour, I mean, there's different ways of working it, but men also work these types of glamour magics as well, in order to make themselves, you know, to bring out that male vigor, to bring out that virility, and use that as a form of as attraction. Use it as a, you know, when I think glamour, ultimately, what I'm thinking about is a type of enchantment, but it's based specifically on enhancing the qualities one has in order to entrance or enchant people. For example, I prefer creating mojo bags. I'm very tactile, like that, you know, earth sign. A really great male glamour mojo bag that can be used to draw attention is ginseng, John the Conqueror, Master Roo, Calamus. Now, I like Calamus. I equate Calamus almost to a male catnip.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when you include a little bit of Calamus in your work, what catnip does to guys more often than not, when women put a little bit of catnip in their bra, Calamus has that same effect on men looking to draw a women. So
that's,
a little bit of Calamus.
That's for sure. That's for sure. And, you know, if you all know your botany, the Calamus is, although it smells sweet, it is a male plant. And it grows down by the water, and then it shoots up this this stalk. And, it's definitely a male thing. And, Calamus is, everyone can use it, same way women can use John the Conqueror. But, Calamus attracts women.
It definitely does, and I can attest to it. I include a little bit of Calamus in my male love work. And then also Southern John or Dixie John, which I love including. A little piece of ginger to heat that thing right up, and a small lodestone grit that you fed with magnetic sand. You put that in a mojo bag, dress it with some John the Conqueror oil or Follow Me Girl oil. And let me tell you, that's some powerful glamour right there.
Well, now, in the chat room, Nagashiva said, pompadour hairstyle oiled with Look Me Over or Victory. Well, yeah, earlier someone had written, and I'm sorry, I've forgotten who it was, that vanilla, it was Carolina Dean, had said vanilla was recommended by his grandmother. Now, a lot of hair dressings do have vanilla in them, and women very strongly respond to vanilla. When I was young, the young black men who took me out on dates would always show up smelling very strongly of Hoyt's cologne. And I identify still, to this day, I open up a bottle of Hoyt's cologne, and I can just see that boy on the doorstep and just remember looking down and seeing his shiny shoes, because I was a little embarrassed. And I looked down, and his shoes were really shined, and he had that aroma of Hoyt's cologne, and he certainly won my heart. So that's another one that is used a lot. But a lot of the old hair dressings that are used in, you know, African-American hair oils and hair grease and things like that, pressing oil, dressing oil, and all those, a lot of them are scented with vanilla. That is very common. And some of them have a few other scents, a little bit of rose or something. Another one that used to be real popular was made in Kansas City, and it was Lucky Tiger, and that one had a bit of a vanilla plus rose scent. Quite nice.
Really, I think when I hear tiger, I always think about the tiger balm, and this is the most unsexy thing that exists in the world.
But you see, you're not old enough to remember Lucky Tiger, and I think they still make it. And the old song, I've Got a Tiger by the Tail, which had a little bit of sexual double entendre going on in that. And that Lucky Tiger was very popular. It was very popular. Oh, and Black Cat says Tres Flores too. It's a brilliantine. That's right. Tres Flores was used and still is used by a lot of people with a straighter hair in the Latin American community. It is very, very popular under the name Tres Flores. It's also called Three Flowers. The label has both English and Spanish on it. And Ali says he's bald. He's not using hair products to draw. Well, that's true, but
glamour is about enhancing those qualities.
What qualities you've got? Well, but Ali, you've got very pretty eyes.
Thank you, and that's part of the glamour work that I do, as well as my voice. So, for those of us that don't have, you know, these luscious long locks, We rely on other things. So for me, whenever I'm doing glamour work, it's always revolving around enhancing the effect my voice has on others, my presence has, or that my eyes do, and combining all of that together with some really powerful magical work and clothing, of course. Yes, presenting yourself is very.
You know,
very
wait a minute. Hold up. You do have a beard.
I do have a beard. I do. A very nicely trimmed goatee.
Bald men are known for their ability to grow really good beards.
That is
so
very
true. Yeah, so they always say it went down through his head and came out his chin. So, well, you know, going back to the old Middle East, they used to perfume their beards. They did.
Yeah,
they
did. Very true.
And, you know, that's even really better for a woman because most women are shorter than most men. So if you're just playing the averages and you perfume your beard and that lady snuggles up in under there, she'll
very
get a nice
true.
Whiff of that. Yeah, just don't be braiding John the Conqueror roots up in your beard, making little lumps or anything.
Yeah.
Well, I love to use sexually direct methods. I'm a Taurus, and I'm also, like I said, never was known for my beauty, but I always was known for my my direct sexuality. So when you use any of these things, I always recommend you add a little bit of your you add a little bit of your, you know, pussy juices to that. That has an aroma that attracts a certain class of men who's ready and willing and able. Of course, and it also kind of makes the men who are not ready and willing and able kind of turn aside. So it's a good way to sort the men out. And what I'm going to say here is going to be very frank and no offense intended. Sometimes when you're out on the dance floor and you're just, you know, dancing around, some of those men may not be available, and some of those men may be good dancers, but they may be gay. And if they're not, like, openly, declaredly gay, if you're wearing pussy juice, they'll walk away from you. Seriously. I've had
that
it
is
to
very
happen.
True. Very
so,
true.
Yeah, so pussy juice separates those who are interested in women from those who are not. And a lot of women have told me they have trouble, you know, that they keep on attracting attention of men. But then when they get to know them and the men turn out to be gay. And so, you can just use that technique to separate those you want from those who don't want you or whatever. And it works. It really does.
It makes it easier.
Yeah, and Nagashiva mentions men's underarm perspiration. Absolutely, women were designed by God, or as Jefferson called it, nature's God, to smell men's underarms. And if they like what they smell, they'll go home with you. So there you go. So now I'm going to ask you a question, Nadia. You were mentioning the use of makeups and things like that. We go back to the 1940s and 30s, and of course there were all these magical makeups, like, you know, Lucky Brown and these other different, you know, Sweet Georgia Brown products. A lot of what we use as oils came out of the cosmetics factories that were repurposed or relabeled. White Rose perfume was used back in Memphis for Love. Do you ever dose your makeup with ostensibly spiritual supplies or hoodoo supplies, or do you recommend any brand of makeup that would be just coincidentally making use of the same scents or herbal products that would be in a hoodoo supply? You see what I'm getting at here?
Well, the thing for me, I'm a little bit of a snob when it's come to makeup, so I would go for the glamorous and, you know, the fancy and stuff like that. A lot of it is packaging, I will admit, but I also worked in the industry, so I know a little bit of that. But I do put hoodoo products in my makeup or beauty. So I would add oils to my lotion. I would add powders to sort of body shimmer or body powder. And now we have a whole revolution of natural products. And natural products are made with herbs and ingredients, and it's very easy to figure out what's going on in there. And when I took a couple of lectures, sitting with ladies that make bath bombs and stuff like that, and I was cracking up because, you know, suddenly there is, like, all these ingredients that we use in hoodoo for various purposes, and they are used, and they have wonderful properties for the skin. So I craft my own masks, facial masks. I do all kinds of things, and as much as I put emphasis on the hoodoo part, I also always pay attention to what is it going to do for my skin. Because, you know, I will never forget the story of you telling me about some couple that was playing around, and they ended up getting cinnamon on the guy's penis.
Oh yeah, yes.
And you know, nobody wants to have cinnamon oil on their penis, so
right,
we got to be very careful.
Anguish,
right?
Yeah.
Right. It's going to be hot, but not that kind of hot.
Yeah.
And so it's important to look, especially when we're going into cosmetics, and we want to use hoodoo and properties of different herbs and oils and such. To think about the skin and what it does to the body, and why we might use or not use that, and that is a big thing for me.
Yeah, that is something very important that we know a lot about, you know, magical herbs, and the same thing kind of happened during the hippie era when there was again a fad for natural products, not so much cosmetics because most of the hippies didn't wear cosmetics, but for cleaning products, personal toiletries such as soaps and everything. You know, you could buy a bar of lemongrass soap. You still can. And lemongrass, we all know that's in vanvan oil, and so that's for turning bad luck to good and for cleansing, and it also has a slight sexual component. So if you are working with any kind of naturals, whether it's cleaning products, you know, for the toiletry or makeup or whatever, if they have a list of ingredients, you work it out in your head. Is this a good combination? You know, and you don't need to reinvent the wheel because people have been doing this, you know, since ancient Egypt, right? I mean, there's been since ancient Egypt they've been figured this stuff out. And you can find even recipes from the 1700s that are, they come around the same way, rosemary and women wearing rosemary and of course it gives women rulership and of course women dressing their hair with rosemary, and you go, well, that's the crown, and that makes her the queen, and it's pretty obvious, but that's from the 1700s. So a lot of this stuff is available, but what's nice now is that some of this stuff is labeled, and they will tell you what's in it, what's in your products, and you can then dose or add a little bit. And what, Madam Nadia, what you just said about the cinnamon oil, be careful, folks. It's true. There are things that smell really great, but they aren't so great if they're undiluted on your skin. And
oh, so true.
Yeah, you need to be, you know, you need to be careful with what you prepare to be used that way. What I always tell people is, if you can avoid cinnamon and use something else to heat and spice up love, so much the better. And Ollie mentioned ginger, and that is a little bit safer in that regard. I mean, you can, if you wanted to, you could make something that would be drinkable, you know, a spiced ginger. Cinnamon chai, but don't be putting essential oils on your body, okay?
Actually, I am going to give you guys a little of my personal book of tricks here in the end of the show, and it's going to be a body scrub, and it does use cinnamon in a certain way. It used Goldschlager, which is liquor, cinnamon liquor with gold flakes in it, but you use very, very, very little of it, and use it more as an antiseptic, almost in the cosmetic sense of it, as opposed to, you know, just putting cinnamon straight on your skin.
Right. Yeah, there's a little thing going on in the chat room about bergamot too, and we all got to be careful. Bergamot is a kind of orange, actually. It's a bergamot orange. But it has its own little chemical signature, and one of the things that it does is make your skin photosensitive. And if you put bergamot on, you'll sunburn, or, you know, get a pretty bad skin burn from the sun where you put that bergamot. So people just say, don't do it. There are other things that'll do what bergamot does, but it'll do it without making your skin photosensitive. Of course, if you're going to go to a nightclub and stay in the dark all night, I guess it wouldn't matter, you know.
Well, it depends, you know, where you wake up and how early or late in the morning is that.
That's true.
Always wear sunscreen, children.
Always wear sunscreen. Yeah. All right. Well, this is a wonderful topic. As always, our guests always bring us these great ideas. And I will say that in a pinch, the easiest thing to do is to cut your commercial products with a little bit of hoodoo products of the same type. In other words, oils with oils, or oils into shampoos, or into dressing oils, hairdressing oils, powders into powders, and so forth. And there are ways to do this. I know one guy, he took my hoodoo course, never graduated, but nice guy. His name was Roy. He was making his own lip balm in little tubes, you know, little push-up tubes, just like some of the famous brands. And he was making them with Kiss Me Now oil. And boy, was that nice. Kiss Me Now lip balm, okay? A really interesting technique, but you'd have to actually make it and experiment with it, okay? All right. Well, I think we're about ready to go to our calls, and I know that Ms. Tammy Lee has some calls set up for us, so we're going to be doing some readings and give some root work advice. And so let's take it away, Ms. Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat, and y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, and this week's special guest, Madam Nadia. We'll be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering the questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press the number 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first client. Our first client is calling in from Mississippi from area code 601. This is Miracles in Love. Miracles in Love, are you there, caller?
Yes.
Hi, great. Well, thank you so much, and welcome to the show. And thank you so much for joining us this Sunday. And I'm going to go ahead and read the brief description of your situation for our host. And she writes, "Want to know if I will get into a nursing program in August of 2013. I dreamt about it last night, and the dream wasn't too hot. I need insight on this. I'm worried and anxious." Turning it back over to you.
All right, Miracles in Love. I'm going to ask you just a couple of questions. What sign of the zodiac are you?
I am a Pisces.
Uh-huh. Well, now I'm going to just take a little side trip here. And those who listen to the show regularly know water signs are the most sensitive. We always say that. And Pisces and Cancer are more sensitive than Scorpio among the water signs. And Pisces are known for dreaming true. Okay, so we have now a client who is a Pisces, and that's going to give us a little insight into what happens when we read the cards. Okay, so I'm going to throw down three cards. And the first card I have is the Nine of Wands. Now, this shows a person who is standing in a what could be a war zone. We're not really sure. And doesn't look too good. They've got a bandage around their head, and they're leaning on a staff or pole or rod like a fighting stick. And behind them, there's a whole bunch more of these sticks. And they're looking over their shoulder, a little wary, a little nervous. This says to me that this dream you had is not the first indication you've had that there is something up with this nursing program, but it also tells me that a lot of it's in your mind, in other words, the bandage around the head. There is a lot of competition here. Those poles and stakes behind that man can indicate people sneaking up on him and adversaries. So the first thing I see here is it isn't so much that you are not good enough. There's a lot of competition. Is that correct?
That's true. It is. And it was a lot of people it was a few people that she said didn't show up to take the necessary compass test on last week. But mm-hmm. I was praying that, you know, she said that, you know, if they don't come and take that test, if they cannot, you know, be qualified for, you know, to be picked for this upcoming nursing program.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only 7 of us in that particular session that took the test, but that doesn't mean that other people hadn't came, you
mm-hmm.
know, a couple of days before and took their test. So I'm just concerned.
Yeah, what I'm seeing here is a looking over your shoulder and worried. Now, the second card is not a bad card, though. The second card tells me that you are preparing to go forward. It's called the Chariot, and it shows two people, because they have human faces, two sphinxes. These are like Egyptian sphinxes with people's faces, pulling a chariot, and in the chariot there's a man. And these sphinxes are resting. They're not pulling at this time, and they have no harnesses, they have no reins. The man's in the chariot kind of waiting to go forward, but nothing's quite happened. He's crossed a river. We say he's made a decision. We can see the town behind him, but he's not moving forward yet. This is a card that says it's a moment of pause, but all you really have to do is get things hooked up. Now, these two sphinxes are called the sphinxes of day and night. Some people would call them mercy and severity. Some people would call them male and female. Or, you know, there's different ways to interpret them. What I see here is that you have done everything right. But if I were you, I would redouble my prayers. And any prayer you make by day, make it by night as well. This says to me that something still maybe not quite hooked up right, but you're ready. I mean, you're absolutely ready to go forward. And the third card is a card that tells me again that there may be a little problem, and I'm not trying to doom and gloom you here, and I'm not trying to naysay you, but you may need to do a little bit more on this situation, because this card is the Two of Wands. And this shows a man holding a big wand in one hand and a globe of the world in the other. He knows where he wants to go. He's got the globe. He's like, this is my map. He's got the wand. He's ready to go. But there's a second wand, and it is in a little metal bracket on the wall, and he's waiting for somebody. And he has no ships. He's looking out over the ocean, over the sea, and he's like, I'm going to go. But he still hasn't got his ships. So both the Chariot and the Two of Wands indicate to me that something still isn't hooked up. I wouldn't fear about it, but I wouldn't feel negative. I'm just saying that there is some sort of we call it a disturbance in the force. And I would say that my recommendation based on these three cards is I would like you to do some magical root work. But we're going to have Madame Nadia read for you very briefly, and then we're going to have Ollie give you some root work to do, because I'm seeing it that root work is necessary. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All righty. Let's see what Nadia says.
Okay, my dear. I really agree here with Kat on several levels, and I'm reading the Lenormand. I pulled three cards, and the cards that I'm seeing in front of me is the Coffin, the Star, and the Ring. Now, the Coffin is the sort of the subject matter of the situation here, and the other cards describe it. What it tells me is that you are stuck in some level. And part of it is your own fear that is going to block you from being successful. Another situation is that there is some roadblock that needs to be dealt with, because it's like being stuck in a box. In this sense, it doesn't necessarily seem to me like it's the end of the road, but it's something to be dealt with. The Ring is talking about commitment and a cycle, which would be, you know, getting into the program. The Star, in this case, talks about a couple of things, which is a scientific study, which is nursing is, but it also reinforces this idea of working by night, specifically working by night, working by the stars, working with astrology. And the combination of all of this would suggest to me working in the graveyard or dealing with the dead, and I'll, you know, and I let Conjurman Ali, you know, say what he thinks about that.
So, Ali?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very excellent readings, and I couldn't agree more. I think that what's needed here is that you take your dream and you don't let it, you know, frighten you. You go, okay, I just need to do work to ensure that I'm going to be successful. Whenever it comes to applications, whenever it comes to trying to get into some type of programming, I always recommend Lodestone Work. Lodestone Work is really great. Not only is it immensely effective, but working with magnetism to draw what you desire to you is a great way of working. What I would recommend is if you can print out your application for the nursing program, go ahead and do that. If you can print out the program or school's logo, include that as well. If you've got any skills with computers, you might even consider creating a faux acceptance letter, you know, with their letterhead or with their logo. And you would place all of that under a large lodestone. I would recommend, you know, selecting a lodestone that really calls out to you if you have an opportunity to kind of select which lodestone to use. And around that lodestone, you want to place herbs that will assist in drawing this, success to you. I would recommend a little bit of dragon's blood for luck and success, a little bit of five-finger grass, in order to get them to make the offer to you, as well as to make all five of your fingers successful in all things that you do. Deer's tongue to make you eloquent and to turn them favorably towards you. Cinnamon to attract them to you. John the Conqueror, that you may conquer and be successful in this situation. And you would place all of this kind of around the lodestone, creating, if you will, a very earthy altar with roots and minerals, and your application underneath your application and all the papers underneath the lodestone. And then you feed that lodestone a little bit of magnetic sand, and you pray over it that as you feed it, it will feed you by drawing to you the program that you desire, by granting you admittance. Around this, you can set up your candles. You can set up road-opening candles in order to break through any obstacles that you have. Road openers excellent for something like this, especially when it comes to a process. Whenever you have to deal with a bureaucracy of sorts, we have to deal with a program where you submit an application, there's a review, and they eventually, you know, get to you. Road opening can help speed that up a little bit. Road opening candles, crown of success candles, heavily recommended for that. You might, if you want to take take it to that level, also do I can, you can't candles as well, because there's some competition between determining whether you're going to stand up to the standards or someone else's, or who they're going to select. I can, you can't candles can also be very good in a situation like this. These are the type of candles that you would be working. By light of those candles, you are calling upon that lodestone. You're praying on it. You might even change it up so that during the day, you feed the lodestone as the sun is rising, and you pray over your roots and your herbs, and you pray over your lodestone, and then at night you light your candles so that you have that night and day element that Miss Cat is talking about and that Adam Nadja was talking about, and that can help really bring in that spiritual force that you need to finally break through and get into the program. The key to a work like this is consistent work, so you want to start it as soon as possible and work it regularly and consistently. You can work it every single day if you prefer, or you can work at certain days of the week. If you decide to go with certain days of the week, I highly recommend Sundays, which are excellent for success work, Wednesdays, because they're ruled by Mercury and it's good for schooling and programming, as well as Thursdays, which are really good for success and getting into schools and programs. Sunday is also associated with health, so nursing program, it's right up your alley. But that's what I would recommend doing in a situation like this, okay?
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna add a couple of little things here. Both Nadia and I saw working by day and by night, and Nadia also felt that there was a need for some sort of an ancestral or deceased person's component. And this brought me back to thinking about, and I don't remember, this was a number of months ago, and I do believe it was someone who was going to get into a nursing program, if I remember correctly, and we recommended the graveyard dirt of a nurse.
Yes. Yeah.
And do you remember that show, Ollie? And then it turned out that person had lived near to where some famous nurse was buried. And it was sort of one of those weird coincidences. So it doesn't have to be a famous nurse, but I would, if I were you, work with a spirit. And he was talking about building this altar. I would just put a little sprinkle of graveyard dirt of somebody who was either a nurse, a doctor, or as was also mentioned in the chat room, I think, by K.S. Witten, getting some dirt from the hospital where the program is going to be implemented. In other words, or the college or wherever it is you're going to physically go. Is there going to be a physical program that you're going to be part of, right?
Right.
Okay. So, and that has a building. Walk around that building and get dirt from the four corners of it and bring it and do an affirmative prayer. This is to be where I am to be, you know. You see what I'm saying? There's a one way that going back to those ancient Greek magical papyri, and you'd be so surprised because some of them just read just like a hoodoo spell. I just read one today. Take dirt from your own house and take it. It said take it, put it to the road, and take road dirt and put it to you. Well, let's adapt that. Take dirt from the four corners of your own house and take it to the four corners of that building, and then take dirt from that four corners of the building and bring it back to your house. And why was that done? In ancient Greek times, it was done to rule and control.
And there I would add your own, a little bit of your own urine if you're going to be bringing stuff from your house over there to mark your territory.
Yeah, that's a good one too, if you can do it without getting caught. All right, well, I wish you all the best of luck and keep on praying. I do recommend working by day and by night because of those two sphinxes. And send up a prayer at the Crystal Silence League. We'll all be praying for you. And as you approach the, you know, the date here, we'll all be sending up our prayers. All right?
Oh, thank you, Al. Thanks.
All right. Best of luck to you. Okay. Crystal Silence League is free. Anyone can put a prayer up, and people will pray for you for your accomplishment and your desires. Okay. All right. Miss Tammy Lee, how about our next person?
Well, yes, ma'am. And Miss Kat, what a great segue into our next break. And a reminder, y'all, that support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to get to the phones and take our next client. And our next client is calling in from area code 347. This is Miss Light, Mrs. Light, rather, from New York. Mrs. Light, are you there, caller?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay, cool.
Welcome to this. Great. Well, welcome to the show. And I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that you've gone ahead and thank you so much for pre-registering on the Lucky Mojo Forum board, that you have indeed had a reading with either Miss Kat or Conjurmental Lee before, either privately or on the show, because you indicated yes, and you're calling in for an update and new development, okay? And she writes, I called in April 28th about my boyfriend and how to get him to express his feelings for me. Miss Kat and Conjurmental Lee gave me a great reading and said that we were a great match and that his ancestors were the ones blocking him from opening up about it. I was told to do ancestor light and to get them on my side since they came to me in a vision I had shared with you all and a sugar jar for them. I was also told to burn a candle with compelling follow me, love me, and conditional for them. I never knew his family members' names, but I was led to his parents' full name, including his mother's maiden name. I dreamed of his mom soon after. My question is, since I was told a woman in the family has protection on him, I was led to his mom's name and then dreamt of her. Could she be the one doing this, and how do I word the ancestor petition in the jar when her over? And special note, she's never met his family yet, and they apparently don't have the same religious views with regard to marriage. Turning it back over to you.
Okay. So, hi, Mrs. Light.
Hi.
Hi.
We do have the same religious views. It's just that we can't meet each other's parents until we discuss marriage.
Right. What she wrote was, our religious following shuns against that until we speak of marriage. All right.
Right.
So he has not yet spoke of marriage.
No, he hasn't. And we hadn't met each other. Well, he met my parents. I haven't met his parents yet, so I didn't know any of their names.
Mm-hmm.
But for some strange reason, I had a dream that I Googled his house and I was looking at it. So I woke up and actually did that, and for some reason I came up on a website that shows the owner's names of the house, and I found
mm-hmm.
both of his parents' names.
Uh-huh, very good.
And
all right.
Yeah, and then I dreamt of his mom right after.
Good. And what sign are you, honey?
I'm a Taurus.
A Taurus, very persistent. Okay. And good detectives. Taurus has been good detectives, I know.
That's right.
All right, so your question isn't that you want a reading. You're actually asking for some root work advice, all right? So because what you say here is, could the mothers be the one who is doing this, put a protection on him? Now, I'm going to say something right before we go into this.
Okay.
Most mothers don't want to prevent their sons from being married, because if they did that, they'd never have grandchildren. They may want to prevent their son from marrying the wrong person, but never, never think of your potential mother-in-law or your actual mother-in-law when you get her as an enemy, because she wants the grandchildren. So why would she put a protection on him to keep him from marrying? She may have put a protection. Yeah.
I probably misunderstood what you guys said. The last reading I had with you and Conjurman Ali and Dr. Ames, Professor Ames, sorry, was that there was an older woman that was protecting him. They were
she may be protecting him from the wrong lady, but she would not be protecting him from you if you are the right lady, which we're going to assume for the purposes of this exercise that you are.
Okay.
So you got a connection with her, so don't worry about that. Just stop that worry. You dreamed about you. You know, you got the dream. The dream told you to Google. You got her name. Everything. So that's all going very, very smooth. Now, you also said, "How do I word the ancestor petition in the jar to win her over?" So I'm going to turn this over to Ali, and we're all going to kind of pour our hearts into this one.
Uh oh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, you know, I agree 100% with Kat. You need to not worry about, you know, him being protected if you're the right woman. Right? It's not that she's trying to stop him from getting married. And I remember this case because it was very distinctive. And what we said last time is that the reason you were having some difficulty working on him was that there was protection. She's not protecting him from getting married. She's not protecting him from falling in love. She's not protecting him from making, you know, that that's all great things. She's protecting him from women that try to force him into love. Or try to step in there and kind of go, he's mine now. Okay?
Okay.
So you've got to bear that in mind in the work that you're doing. Avoid things like coercive love work on him. Instead, you need to call out to her spirit. Now, the fact that she came to you in a dream indicates that you already have a connection. So what I would recommend is that when you have her in the jar, and wording the petition is one of those things that I'm always saying, you've got to do it from your heart. You really have to. If you're going to a root worker and saying, I need you to word this petition for me, it's one of those things that other root workers may be different. But for me, I always say, how am I supposed to word your own private prayers to God?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
So this is your prayer to God. You know, you can do it in a variety of ways. You can write her name 3 times and cross it with yours, or you can simply write a heartfelt, what I call a letter to God, right? And you just write, and you know, God may so and so be sweetened to me, may so and so, yearn to meet me, right? May our spirits, which have already have a connection, manifest that connection in life. Something along those lines. And so you write that and include that petition and then call out to her spirit. So-and-so, be sweetened towards me. I love your son. I desire to be the right woman for him. I want to treat him right and be the woman of his dreams. And say all the things that a mother wants to hear and be sincere about it. And speak to her. What you're trying to do is have a conversation that you cannot have face-to-face. You're going to have it in spirit so that when you do meet, there already is this connection between the two of you. And she's already favorable towards you. So that it's not, because you want to create a family. You're not trying to conquer or come in and be victorious. You're trying to
right.
include it into that family. So include yourself in that family, spiritually calling out there. I highly recommend lighting a candle to her whenever, you know, lighting a candle to her spirit and calling out to her, telling her to come to you in your dreams and work with you in order to help guide her son into love and happiness. Convince her. Be very, very. It's very important to reassure her that your intentions are good, right? That you're not here just to get this man because you want, no, because you love this
right.
man. You want to make a life with this man and have children with this man and make her a grandmother and things like that. Always include her first before you do any work on him. Avoid any type of coercive work on him or anything of that sort. Work with things like sweetening. Work with things like drawing them to you with lodestones. I also recommend that if you have a honey jar or some type of sweetening thing, include deer's tongue when it comes to him, because that'll help with getting him to start talking about marriage, getting him to start talking about commitment. Deer's tongue is excellent for getting a proposal. And that's what we want. We want him to start thinking in that way so that he can introduce you physically to his family. And that's what I would do, is include her spirit into all of this work that you're doing, but always reassuring her and invite her into your dreams so that you don't just have it from time to time, but that she becomes part of her dream. So light that candle for her, you know, put her in that ancestral, you know, sweetening work. Call her, tell her, that reassure her that you want to be part of the family. And then do your work on him and include a little bit of deer's tongue. I'm going to hand this over to my colleagues, okay?
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah,
I've got another comment here, too.
Mm-hmm.
She's a woman. Women usually like flowers. Be sure you put some flowers
I
out.
Was just about to say that.
Women like flowers.
Altar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Women like flowers. And then another thing is you can start doing spirit work to introduce her to your family. So if you can't get her picture, at least get, you know, pictures of some of your family around, and you know, introduce her. Call her by name. I'm just gonna make up a name. We're just gonna say her name is Abigail, right? We're gonna say, Abigail, you know, as you are to be my mother-in-law, I will call you Mother Abigail from now on. You tell her that. I'm gonna call you Mother Abigail. Now, Mother Abigail, this is my grandmother so-and-so, Betty, and this is my grandfather, John, and Abigail, this is my other grandmother, Denise, and so forth. And you just say, you know, and you just bring her in, and you just say, and I'm going to tell you one other thing you can do. You don't have to do it, but you can. If you have a pet, a kitten, a puppy, a dog, a cat, pet in front of where we're doing this work too, and say, you know,
right.
I'm so kind to animals, and I would love to have a baby of my own, and there's nobody
oh
I would love.
Yes.
There's nobody I would love to have
oh,
a baby
yeah.
with
Brilliant.
Born your son, and pet and cuddle that little pet, okay?
I
right.
can't believe this. You know, I actually bought a whole dozen of roses and sat them on her altar, and I cried to her and just, you know, like pleaded, like, I love her son so much. And
wow.
I actually, I made her a sugar bowl, and because
uh-huh.
our religious tradition is Muslim, I actually read a bit of the Quran to her towards her altar every night,
mm-hmm.
just to, you know, show my intentions. But I actually have been feeding animals so that any blessings that I get would go to her.
Good.
So I've
Wonderful.
Been doing that a lot.
You've been doing it already. Well, great. Let's see what Madam Nadia has
okay.
to say.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was in and out here for a second, but one of the things that I got sort of spiritually is that there might have been an infidelity in her family from her husband, and that makes her a little bit more cautious. So this is just something for you to think about.
Mm-hmm.
What I think that your ideas were brilliant, and what I would add to that is that I would print out this picture of their house, the Google imaging, whatever, and write on top of that their names, and I would put it under a mirror, and I would burn a candle on that mirror with my prayers, and then the next day I would bake something, and I think somebody in the chat room also said, you know, pour some tea. So I would pour some tea, I would bring that food, and I would look into that mirror, and I would talk to her.
Okay.
And I would tell her, look, here I am. This is my intentions, you know, what everybody already said. here I am. I want to have children with your son. I am of good nature, and I will feed him as well. I will take care of him.
Good. Right. Okay. And should I put any of that sugar in him? Now that I've seen his tone, and it's actually right next to a doctor's office where he doesn't know, but I'm a writer, and I have to drop a lot of articles off to this doctor, and I had no idea that the whole time his house was wall-to-wall with that doctor.
Oh, my.
So,
talking about signs. Wait a minute. Whoa, hold up. Hold up, baby. Hold up. I just have to say something because people are always asking in the Lucky Mojo forum, what is a sign? What is a sign? Boy, that's a sign, ain't it? Ain't it? That is an amazing sign. All right.
Yes, so
you
think should I put sugar there? Like from the bowl? Should I
put sugar there from the bowl. Absolutely. And I'm going to also say it may be that now you have one last problem, and that's him. See, because you can get her all on your side, but if she's not told your name, or she doesn't know how to, she goes, there's a beautiful woman out there for my son, but she doesn't know who it is, see?
Right.
So you've got to do a little courage work on him.
Yeah.
And truly, you can do it, but you got to get him to, you know, stand up a little bit. And I think this is all working pretty well. I mean, I'm really seeing good things here. And you're doing good work. Well, your work is intuitively guided, and you are having signs. When we talk about a sign like that, people always say, well, what's a sign? What's a sign, Miss Kat? Well, my gosh, there's a sign. You had a dream that you Googled something. You Google it, and there it is, right? And then you get their name that you didn't know before. And then you look up the building, and my gosh, you already are going there on a regular basis because it's right next door to where, you know,
I didn't even know because I never knew his door number. I just knew his street. But when I saw it on Google Maps, I thought, oh, my gosh, I've been going next door to this house every day.
Well, that's very good. That's very, very
Thank
good.
Thank you, guys. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, well, so, and yeah. We'll just keep up the work. And and be sure, though, that you're now going to start focusing also on him.
I was doing a honey jar for him as well. He actually started texting me and being a little bit sweeter than usual. So
add some deer's tongue to that honey jar.
Yeah, deer's tongue is good. Maybe. And as I said, now I like to use sugar because you can also make him some food maybe and feed it to him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you use sugar, but you know there's recipes that use honey as well. There's plenty of good recipes that use honey, and I'll tell you, in the next Hoodoo Foods cookbook, there's one that Dr. E recommended, which is bananas and cream and honey. You wouldn't believe what that'll do for a man, I tell you.
He'll eat it. He eats anything I cook.
Yeah.
So, that'll be a new one for him.
Yeah, so just any kind of thing that has a little bit of that honey in it or some sugar that you've prayed over. And and Leah in the chat room has another one too, which is great. She's a good worker. Anoint the bottom of your feet or shoes and walk by the front of his house so his family walks into your tracks. Peaceful home, marriage, come to me.
Nice.
Brilliant, Leah. That is exactly right. Yeah,
so I can
exactly
do that
right.
Instead of pitching some sugar, because, I mean, they have one of those houses that's split down the middle, and half is the doctor's office and half is their house. So I can literally reach my arm over the fence, and it's their house right there. So should I put some of that on there? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, well, you want to walk. No, what
walk
Leah said, and it's important, put it on your shoes and walk on it, on the soles, on the bottoms of your shoes, so that as you walk, that gets in the sidewalk, then they're going to walk on it when they come out their door.
Okay,
they're going to walk on your tracks. Then you say, now I'm going back home. Follow me. Follow me back home, you see?
Oh, wow. Okay, I'll do that.
And because it's foot track magic, and if you can get a little bit of dirt or dust from around their house, just carry that on home and say, now y'all going to show up here sooner or later. I'm making a track for you to come on back to my house, and you're going to meet me, and then you put that, you know, in your house. Okay.
Oh, I would love that. Yeah, he really needs to encourage that poor guy. He works so hard. There's 12 of them in that house, and he's taking care of all of them right now. So I know he's under a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
So that would
Alrighty.
Be good. Okay.
Alrighty.
Thank you so much. Thank all of you so much.
Yeah. Good luck to you, sweetheart, and we hope to hear of a wedding date soon.
Oh, I hope so, too.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. We turn it back over to Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and we have just about 26 minutes remaining in the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. And, y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is the first show of its type ever to be made available to the public, and it remains the longest-running folk magic radio show to date. Listen by telephone or listen to the archive podcast on iTunes. Either way, you're going to love it. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Then dial 818-394-8535 during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you're available to be on the air. If your call is chosen, you will get a free reading and rootwork consultation with your host, Catherine Ironwood of luckymojo.com and Conjamin Ali of conjaminali.com. And this week's special guest, Madam Nadia of MadamNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois. Tune in every week at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Time to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. Now it's time to go to the callers who signed up to be on the air. And our next caller and client is calling in from New Jersey. And this is Steele from 646 New Jersey. Steele, are you there, caller?
Yes. Hello.
Hey, well, welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let our panel know that you have actually either had a reading with Miss Kat or Conjamin Ali prior on the show or in person as one of their clients, okay? And you're calling for an update. And she writes, after many, many years, I ran into a rekindled romance with an old boyfriend. He unfortunately is married but told me that he would have married me if I had not left him back then. I've been doing both love and breakup work on the situation. My last reading showed that there was a potential for success. I'd like to get an update on the situation and see if I've gotten any closer and what would be my next move. Thank you, and turning it over to you.
All right, a couple of questions, and welcome back to the show, Steele. How long ago did we do that reading?
I think 2 or 3 months.
2 or 3 months. All right. And has there been any progress?
Things just seem to be sort of intensifying between the two of us.
Yeah.
The feelings are just growing.
I remember your voice, and I do remember this, if I'm not mistaken. You are having a secret affair with this man, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought. Okay. So, what we're going to do is we're going to look at how, and I don't believe Madam Nadia was the reader back then, so she's going to be new to this one. Madam Nadia, what do you see? There was potential, and I do remember this, but she wants an update and see where she is now. Is she getting any closer?
Mm-hmm. Well, the case sounds familiar, so maybe I heard it on the show. Anyway,
I think, yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
I pulled three cards. Again, I pulled Lenormand, and the first card that showed up is the letter. The second card is the crossroads, and the third card is the mountain. Now, it seems to me that there has been some movement in your case, but you also have a block or an enemy. And now, just to make sure that I understand the situation, your old flame is married and is in a relationship, correct?
Yes.
And my feeling about it is that the wife is either aware of what's going on or she sort of feeling that something is up. And I'll tell you why, because the crossroads card, my cards show pictures as well as playing cards. And the playing card here is the Queen of Diamonds. And she is standing right there in your crossroads, and the messages that you receive, possibly messages that she can see. So I don't know if you have emails or things that you exchange between the two of you.
She saw a text message that I sent him.
Okay, so here
very
is
good.
Your,
yeah.
This is why I love Lenormand. See, you can't, you know. But she is there. Is you have this is slowing you down, and it's slowing you down considerably. A lot of times when people read Lenormand, they disregard the mountain card,
And the mountain card very classically stands for an enemy, and a very strong enemy. So his wife is seeing you as an enemy, and it's a little bit of a war right now. So you need to consider that, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Now, what do you have to say, Ollie?
Well, Madame Nadia was reading the Little Norman and did that brilliant reading. I casted a geomantic chart to see what your chances are of kind of looking at the overall picture and what your chances are to get this guy, you know, yours. Now, does he have, how long has he been married for?
10 years.
10 years, okay. To be honest with you, the figures that I have here, in addition to having this enemy, they indicate that your chances, while there is a chance that the two of you will grow closer, the chances of him actually leaving his wife for you don't look that good right now, okay? When we look at the right witness, which is basically kind of what goes into the situation, we have Carcer. Carcer is a prison. It's a lock. It indicates that this situation is locked and trapped, and he himself is trapped in this situation. And it's a figure that indicates there is no progress, that what is will remain. Okay. When we look to the future, we have acquisitio, which is a bag. There is a strong indication here that financial considerations are one of the reasons why he remains in this state. Well, he has a lot of feelings for you, and we can see that in the rest of the chart, which I'll get to in just a minute. The fact of the matter remains is that practical concerns about money, concerns about his home life, concerns about his family life, are going to keep him where things are, and the judge, which kind of tells us what the outcome of everything is Fortuna Minor, and Fortuna Minor is about temporary changes, so that you can, using magical work, you've managed to make him open up more, you've managed to draw him, and things are heating up between the two of you, but what changes and fluctuations you've caused, like tension between the two of them because she's caught on with this message, are going to be unfortunately short-lived, that whatever progress you've made may not be enough at this point in time to break them up and bring him to you. Now, there is no denying that you have made some good progress. When we look into the house, we look at the seventh house. The seventh house is all about relationships, and we see Amiso. Amiso is the exact opposite of Acquisitio. It's a bag that's held upside down. And Amiso in Latin means loss, but it's a losing your heart. So we have here a man that is torn between two separate things. The seventh house shows us a man who's really having strong feelings for you. He's losing his heart to you. And there is this heating up between the two of you. And that's great. Amiso is excellent. It's also ruled over by the planet Venus. So that's exactly what you want in the seventh house. But the future is also conflicted with the exact opposite of Amiso, which is Acquisitio, gain. It is about his financial status. It's about divorce is not an easy thing, and that's playing very heavily on him. Then we look at kind of the hidden factor, which is the projection of points, and that comes into the fourth house. His role as a family man, his role, does he have any children?
Yes, he does.
Yeah. The fourth house is the house of being the father. And so his role as a father, his role as a provider specifically, because the fourth house always refers to a guy who's providing, not just, you know, a person who's a daddy, but who's providing for his family as well as his children. That's the biggest concern here. Between his role as a provider, his role as a father, his family life, as well as the financial considerations, you're looking at a very, very heavy block, which keeps everything into this immobile state of carcer, which is this prison. I will say you've made progress, but the progress you've made right now, according to Geomancy, is not enough to break this man up. You may continue to heat up the relationship between the two of you, and you will have an affair with fireworks. But if you're looking for this man to leave his wife and be with you, right now the progress just has not been made, okay?
All right.
Okay, I get that, and I also get a lot out of what Nadia stated from her cards, and you confirmed, and which was that there was a message that the lady got it, and what Ollie has said is the lady, the wife, has she's tried to put this thing down. So things have changed in some ways. The relationship is very intense. It's It still has that spark and that interest, but now the lady's radar has gone off and she's alert to the situation. And now she's going to be doing her push and shove to try to get you out of here. So the game has entered a new phase, we're going to say. And you knew it would never be easy.
Yeah.
It would have been better if you'd gotten him all the way to, like, ready before she found out. But now you're in a situation. So he is still seeing you. Things are still sexual between you. You need to work that angle of it. Just be as agreeable and loving and caring as possible. Because if the worse she gets and the angrier she gets, the more he's going to compare the two of you. And you will be the nice one. I know that sounds mean to her, but that's how you're going to have to play it.
That is so important right there, what Kat said. And that applies for a lot of the situations, because that comparison is dead on. That's perfect. Yeah, because if he finds you as the source of peace and comfort and his family life is tortured, guess where he's going to go?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can go.
Right, right. Well, that is where it's at. So you are playing what we would call a long-term game at this point. You cannot say to him, hey, but you promised me you were going to leave your wife. Don't do it. Don't do it. You got to just play it as if it's all beauty all the time. Now, set yourself a time limit on this, because how old are you, hon?
In my 40s.
You're in your 40s, right. Set yourself a time limit because you want to get this thing either one way or the other done soon as possible. And but don't make him jealous. Don't be, I got other boyfriends. Don't do that. Just play this thing very lightly from the standpoint of try not to raise her hackles anymore, but do more breakup stuff on them if that's what you want to do. Do more breakup stuff and get them to fighting and get them to arguing. She's going to have to be the villain here for you to be the princess. Otherwise, she's the grieved and a wounded one, and he's going to feel guilty and go to her. So be very, very accommodating. Be very sexual. So let's just talk briefly about how you would do that, not just psychologically, but magically. So some of the things I would do would be, do you have a doll baby on him?
I do.
Okay. Good. All right. Well, then you know where you're going with that. Work with that doll baby of him. Love it up, even to the point of, like, wearing it on your body. And if you can, if it's a small enough little dolly, wear it on your body. Some people will say, wear it so that it comes in contact with your skin, not even in a pouch or a bag, but literally in contact with your skin. And say, you know, you're with me at all times. You are always with me. I'm going to tell you something that's going to sound really rough and rude here on the radio, but you can make a small little flat doll baby and pin that in your panties. And I don't mean on the side of your panties, honey. I mean,
no,
you know, right down,
mm-hmm.
right. Okay.
I was thinking when you said it.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Well, you have a good natural talent for this. So do that. And so that, you know, that he's always, you know, in contact with what he wants, right? You know, come and get it. You're right here. I love you all the time. And because you need to put a lot of power into this one, a lot of power. Meanwhile, do those moving candle spells to break them apart. And I know you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yep, I do.
Okay. And maybe add some inflammatory confusion to the work between them. Not just breakup, but inflammatory confusion. Make them so that they misunderstand each other's words and they just get all messed up. And one of them forgets to deposit the tax money and the other one forgets to bring home the shampoo. And they're always bickering and fighting about all those little stupid things, right? Make it all messy. And then, and of course, you're going to be that refuge of peace, calm, acceptance, love, sweetness, delight, joy. That's you, okay?
And may I add just something little to that? Looking from the psychological into what's happening now, you are his old flame. When he looks at himself in the mirror at home, he sees his mm-hmm. family and the children. When he thinks about you, you remind him of his younger self. So what was that doll baby that's going to be in your panties?
if you can get a picture of him, how he was when you guys were together, add that there, whether burn it with some, you know, incense or cut it and put it inside that dolly or whatever, because you want to remind him the version of himself before the mortgage, okay?
Oh, gosh, really good. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one. I like that a lot. Yeah, and so I think that we've given you a bunch of ideas here. It's still a long haul. And now you've had a little bit of a warning signal went up to the lady, and she's going to be on guard. So you need to get around that as much as you can. There may come a time where you slap it right in her face, and that calls for the moment of truth, and then they do have the big fight. But it's not quite yet. Not what the cards say. Not quite yet.
Quick question. Do you have access to the property where he lives on, or his home or apartment or anything like that?
It would be very difficult.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Difficult.
It would be difficult.
It's very difficult. Then what I would suggest is if you can send, for example, one of the things you can do is send anonymous letters. And I tell my clients they can do this, you know, mailers of sort or junk mail, if you will. It doesn't have to be. Mm-hmm. Make sure it's not addressed from you, and you dress it with inflammatory confusion powders and breakup powders, because you want to make his house, so to speak, uncomfortable for him. Okay,
yeah,
so that he's yearning to come to your place, and then you do the exact opposite. Around your house, you're sprinkling peace water, you're sprinkling love me powders, you're sprinkling all these wonderful things around your house so that he comes over and he takes his big sigh of relief, I'm home. Right? What you're doing in his mind is shifting where his home is. When he starts associating you with his home and heart, that's when you've won. Okay?
Yeah. I very recently just did that.
Perfect.
Yeah, good.
Perfect.
All right, and the junk mail thing, for those who are unfamiliar with it, you get a piece of junk mail that looks, you know, probable, and you get an envelope that looks probable. You dress the whole thing, you readdress it, and you sneak it into their mail, either address it to them completely with, you know, straight-up address, but no return address. And now, not every piece of junk mail will be open, so you're going to try to make it look good. You know, just do it with your computer. And the basic thing is just to get the piece of paper there. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be an ad for anything, but it's just going to be in there. Okay, so that's what Ali was talking about. All right, hon. Good luck to you. And
thank you very much.
Yeah, we hope to hear of your eventual success. All right,
keep your heart
open and light and free. And also, as I said, set a time limit. Okay.
All right. Yes.
All righty. Good luck to you, baby.
All right.
We're going to be coming up on our free spell, but first we're going to have a word from Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and we're just going to do a really short break here, y'all, to let everyone know that the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour from coast to coast and around the world is brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. And we are broadcasting live each and every Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Our next segment of our show it will be our special spell segment, and will be coming to us with Madam Nadia of MadamNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois. So, Madam Nadia, take it away.
Okay, so going back to beauty and hoodoo and tricks and things like that, I wanted to share with you guys an amazing body scrub that I also happen to call Gold Digger's Body Scrub. And this is made not only to feel gorgeous and glamorous, but also to attract attention of people who would be willing to give you a lot of attention. And it could be definitely used for workers, but anyone can enjoy it. And so for the Gold Digger's Body Scrub, you would want to have 50% of white cane sugar. And even though, you know, thinking about gold, and I would, you know, think first brown sugar, but white cane sugar is actually better for the body. It's less abrasive. And we also want to do 50% of vegetable glycerin of some sort. So you can use olive oil. I would recommend safflower oil, almond oil unless you have allergies. So be careful with that. People who have allergies to nuts, almonds, make sure that you think about that. And now, if we would use like half a cup of cane sugar, I would use 1.5 tablespoons of Goldschläger, and I mentioned it earlier. It's a drink, alcoholic drink that is spiced with cinnamon, and it actually has gold flakes in it. And so you mix it all together, and you start adding some oils and some herbs, just a little bit of herbs. Break it down really well. I like to add five finger grass. I like to add catnip. If this is a man, now thinking about what Ali said, maybe you want to consider to use calamus. I would add some calendula and a couple of drops of chamomile oil, a couple of drops of sweet orange oil, bewitching, Cleo May, and follow me, boy, look me over, and oh my God. This thing
wow.
is amazing. It makes you glow. I like to obviously to pray over it, and I you know would invoke deities like Lady Luck, you know, something like that, where you don't think about it. Oh, I'm just doing it because blah blah blah. Think about positive. That this is your body is your temple. You're polishing it. It's going to be shining like the sun. It's going to be noticed, and you are going to be worshipped. And so this is a really a good thing, and everything that's going in there is going to be good and healthy for your skin.
That sounds really great. So tell us about this this liqueur, because we need to know, what is this? It's called Goldschläger?
It's called Goldschläger, yes. I think it's German. I'm not sure. It's
sounds
a liqueur.
Like it.
Uh-huh. And
it has actual gold flakes. Now, how much of that do you put in? You said a half a cup each of sugar and some vegetable oil or of some sort.
I would
sort.
Put for a little use for one or two times. And again, don't keep it for too long because you have herbs in there. You don't want that stuff to mold.
Mm-hmm.
But I would use half a cup of cane sugar, half a cup of oil, and then 1.5 tablespoons of Goldschläger.
Okay.
Don't overdo the Goldschläger because you don't want it to be a burning, excruciating experience. You want it to feel good.
And you don't want to smell like booze.
You know what? You would not even smell like booze because it's beautiful. I dress my, spray my lodestones with that, and it's some good stuff. Anything
okay.
that has mold in it has to be good.
All right. Thank you.
Beautiful.
That's an incredible, incredible recipe. All right. Well, we've come to the end of another hour, so let's give it to Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Cat. And thank you, Miss Cat and Condiment Ali. And thank you, Madam Nadia of MadamNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois, for being our special guest member from AIR this week. We invite you to tune in next week when our special guest member from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Professor Ames of SkullBoneEmporium.com in Kansas City, Missouri. And once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Cat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Condiment Ali at condimentali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archives via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee, and thank you, Nadia, for being our guest. That was wonderful.
Yes, thank you so much.
For having me.
Yes, and Nadia says she's going to be posting that recipe on her blog, so drop by her site, and she'll have a link at her site to her blog site, and you'll be able to get the recipe for that and something else she calls Harem Queen face mask. So that sounds wonderful. All right. Now, I'm looking forward next week to hearing from Professor Ames. That's going to be a good show. In the meantime, we're going to spend a few minutes after the show in our chat room. And we always do that. You can ask questions about what you heard today for a few minutes, and we will get back to you and tell you what we know. And in the meantime, during the week, you can always go to the Lucky Mojo Forum, forum.luckymojo.com. Ask your questions, and we'll be glad to answer them. There are so many people there who are helpful moderators, including the return of Leah Rivera. And we're always happy to see her in the forum. And, of course, Contraman Ollie will be there, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Bye.